혼자 울어 가네. 하얗게 비가 올 때면 우산을 받쳐 들고
afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. Also streaming from KYRS.org. And my gosh, here at the library, they had a water problem. And so there's no water in the facility. So the library is shut down. And as you know, all the how electric locks work, they're all connected to the water supply somehow. There's obviously some sort of turbine that runs the electrical components for the electric locks. So the electric locks weren't working either, but I didn't see any water pouring out of them, but I did look. So I had to wait for my guest, Matt Danielson, who is the executive director of Spokane Pride. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Maeve. Thank you for educating me on how electric locks work.
Yeah, it's, and you know, a lot of people don't know how much of our systems were reverse engineered from the Flintstones. And that was one that was like a waterfall locking system. I can't remember the episode. I think Bam Bam was in it. But
I mean, you're right a little bit, though. Probably a lot of the power comes from hydroelectric.
Oh, I'm right a little bit. I'm right a lot.
Oh, I think you're utterly wrong on a lot of it, but what? I love a good dam. Oh, man. A good dam tour, going in and seeing the turbines.
Oh, me too. I love the Grand Coulee Dam tour. And the light show.
I went to the light show like a month ago.
Are they still doing it?
Uh-huh. It totally holds up from when I was a kid.
Does it have a giant picture of President Trump saying, "I want to welcome all to the largest dam show"? Anything like that?
It did not. No. But what I did have a... Okay, so revealing my evil ideas.
Okay.
I'm going to see... It did have a list of organizations that kind of put on the light show at the end. And I'm going to figure out which those are. And I'm going to start lobbying them to rainbow the dam next June. Because they do have it lit as red, white, and blue at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm like... We could add a couple colors. Imagine what an epic statement that would be.
What if Spokane Pride sponsored them? And then so it also said like sponsored by Spokane Pride.
I mean, I don't think I have enough money for that.
How much does it cost? I don't know.
Honestly, they're probably not going to do it. But.
Well, you know, honestly, if people want the best bang for their buck, it would probably be to underwrite my show. If they're true Americans.
Well, true queer Americans, too.
Americans, mm-hmm. Americans who love queer people, you know, all that stuff. Why are we here? Oh, yeah, we're here to talk about Garland Pride. But all to say, that's why we started a little bit late, is because I had to go down
stairs. She had to let me in.
And Dana helped me because I really think... The way the locking system is here, that if I went down the stairs by myself, I would have been locked in the stairwell until probably tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I would have tried to help.
Yeah.
But, and we got more than just Garland Pride to talk about. There's been a lot going on.
All right. Okay. Well, let's just do you mind if we kick it off with Garland Pride? Would that be a problem?
I guess we can do that.
Because that's the next big one.
No, right? I know. That's why I was late.
Okay, yeah. What's going on? Why were you late? What's going on?
Just so many things happening. You know, you get to event week and suddenly everybody wants to message you about the event. I'm like, we could have done this weeks ago, but you know, whatever. So Garland Pride is basically we think there should be more pride year round in Spokane and everywhere. So Spokane Pride has kind of broadened its mission a little bit and are working with a bunch of the businesses in the Garland district to create Garland Pride. This will be the third annual event. We're going to shut down Garland for the second year in a row. We're going to put vendors down the middle of the road. There's going to be blow up rainbows. There's going to be Alice in Wonderland showing for free at the theater at 2:00 because it's Alice in Wonderland themed.
Why did I think it was Wizard of Oz? That was the last two years.
Okay. I'm going from Dorothy to Alice.
So Alice in Wonderland, that'll be the Disney cartoon or the one with Johnny Depp?
I don't know if
well,
this
that makes
Johnny
a big
Depp
difference.
One. I don't care. Come as you, I mean, it's pride. Come as you are within reason. So I feel like Maeve's trying to tell me something and I'm totally missing it. But
I know I'm not. I'm as lost as you are. I think I'm a little hypoxic from climbing up the stairs.
Yeah. We had to work out to get here.
Yeah. And I, you know, when Dana and I were going down and he said, I'm sure glad the stairs work. And then I said, well, just think of how bad it would have been if they were escalators and we were stuck. And then it took about maybe two more flights of stairs when he started laughing and he got it.
It's just, there's so much bad happening in Spokane right now. Not even the library works.
Speaking of bad happening, is there a component with the wild? You had the big event just recently.
We've actually had two already.
Well, let's talk about those a little bit. Let's talk about what Pride's doing for the community of people who have been displaced by house fires.
Yeah, I mean, just generally, me and my team were all looking at each other with our hands in the air, like a lot of the community being like, how do we help? What do we do? And I'm like... I mean, I was a firefighter from 16 to 18 in high school in Adams County, but not like, I'm like, I can't go out there on the line and just say, hey, how can I help?
Yeah.
But, you know, we're a pretty good event organizing organization. And so I went over to the event calendar at 9, found some open spots in the weekend and just started scheduling stuff. And we've already had two fundraisers. The first one brought in about $5,100 that we donated directly to the city's home cares program that goes directly to to relief. And then we did, and that was August 7th. So, and then the 15th, which was just this last Saturday, we had another event. And these events are basically like really well-produced talent shows. I basically do an all call on social media and see who wants to come and perform. And we have like poets, we have spoken word, we have musicians, we have drag, we have comedy, we have all sorts of things. And we just try to, you know, structure it in a really fun and pleasing way. And basically I guess it's almost like church because we walk around with a tip bucket and we're like, hey, how much would you like to contribute for this lovely performance that's happening? But yeah, then we raised, I think, almost $5,300 on Saturday. So we've already raised over $10,000.
Wow.
And the Saturdays, this most recent one, we're donating all of that directly to a fund that is helping fire victims on the Spokane and the Colville reservations because they have it really, really hard up there.
Oh, yeah. They've really been hit hard.
So yeah, we're just trying to do what we can. And there will be we'll have donation codes and QR codes at Garland Pride. We're encouraging people to donate there as well. I want to do a fundraiser every week and just show our community that, you know, the queers are here for everybody in the community.
Yeah.
And we really want to be a part of this and, you know, show that we can help everybody. And then at the same time with the San Pride Center, San has a food pantry. We did a lot of the Wednesday after the fire, we did an all call to, I think, the LGBTQ seniors and trans Spokane to come in for an extra day in the food pantry to make sure that our community that we represent has everything they need. And basically like moved outward from there because there were so many people donating. It was hard to get everything out there to people that needed it. So we were a part of that effort as well. So I like to think we were, you know, serving our community that we, you know, the queer community, while, you know, trying to help everybody at the same time.
Well, and I think that's, if anybody's been to the Pride Festival, if they haven't, they should go. That's thematic to the Pride Festival. I mean, there are booths and people there to help you. My wife's been down there with the Spokane Gardener Association to help people with their plant problems, you know, at the Pride Festival. So I think there is so many of those things. And also, not to be crass about it, but it also brings in a lot of revenue. How many people you were going to do a count, right?
We never get great numbers. Yeah. For example, actually via some of the cell phone data we got this year, we were actually down from last year, but then the DSP's report said we were up 13%. Huh. So it's really, really hard to get good numbers.
Okay. So if I say 40,000, you're not going to go, oh no, that's not.
No, I think we were bigger than that.
Okay. So you bring that many people to downtown Spokane, and that helps out the hotel industry, that mm-hmm. helps out the food industry, people buying gasoline, all sorts of stuff. Pride is a big boon to businesses.
Yeah, and it actually looked like from the DSP's report, the only days that were, the only individual days that were busier than Pride were Drain Hoop Fest.
Yeah,
so we're basically that. Basically one of the busiest days of the year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really quite the statement.
What's DSP stand for?
Downtown Spokane Partnership.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
They do a lot of the downtown stuff.
They're in a partnership.
Yes, they're domestic partners with the city of Spokane. I would say they're domestic partners with Visit Spokane because one of them kind of runs logistics and then Visit Spokane does more marketing.
Okay.
And that is a gross generalization of both of those organizations. But
I don't think it was so gross. I thought it was pretty nice.
It was incomplete.
Okay.
So none of them get mad at me if they are hearing this because Spokane Pride values our partnership with both organizations.
Yeah, and they are both great organizations. Yeah. I know people.
I think we all want a thriving downtown, and that's why. I mean, that's why one of the most exciting things about this last Pride was I helped with shutting down Sprague and getting the block party at 9:00.
How did that go?
Oh, it was
I was probably asleep for an hour by the time the
I should have been, but no, it was glorious. Nine did incredible. Like it was truly the after party because, you know, we want to wrap up Pride right around 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because we start so early and it's a 2-day thing. And, yeah. It was so nice to be able to help create the space for it, but it was also a challenge because, Sprague is considered a main thoroughfare in town, and we have that bus station there. So it took a lot of finagling, a lot of calls to the city government, a lot of me, you know, abusing some political connections. Just a lot of, let's just say everybody wanted it to happen, including a lot of our city government officials, which I'm very grateful for. So, yeah. I've never actually made it to 9 after Pride ever because it's just too much. Pride is objectively too much, you know, and this year was no exception, but this year I did make an exception and I rode my bike down to 9 about 11:30, you know, helped get a lot of my team in, helped them skip the line and the cover, and took some pictures from the stage, and I just like sat there and let it land emotionally and was like, wow, we did. I mean, because Pride overall went great this year. I could not be happier.
Yeah.
And then having, you know, all of that goes so well, and then going over to the block party and seeing it go perfectly. I mean, I had like genuine human emotions. Oh, wow. It was,
I wish I would have been there to see that.
Oh, no, there was no tears. Anyway, no, it was so good. And just watching the community come together like that. I mean, because we'd been coming together all day, we had been together, and it was actually at the block party. It wasn't even people I knew. I actually had an extra VIP wristband that the owner had given me, and I was scouting that line to try to give it away. And I'm like, it's a lot. It was a lot of out of towners and probably a lot of young people that I don't know too.
Yeah,
because them, you know, people just keep getting younger.
They
go to those bars.
Yeah,
and I don't know everybody anymore because I don't bartend.
No,
so. No, it was truly the best Pride we've ever had this year.
How was there anything that surprised you about Pride this last year? Was there anything that was like, oh, I mean, it's such a wild, I'm sure you've seen it all by this point, right?
No, there's so much at an event that big. I mean, we had 400 volunteers.
Wow.
We have a bunch of different committees and leads, and just the how highly functioned, like how high we functioned as a group together in concert. It was like, I like to say we're like either conducting a symphony or like tap dancing through a minefield. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just so much could go wrong, but with all the coordination, with all the communication, with all the planning, we did so well. It was to the point where I actually didn't even have anything to do during parade setup. We saw each other during the parade. Remember how?
Yeah,
I saw,
because we were setting up.
I got to just ride my bike around and yell at the parade entries.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was literally one of the coolest things of my life, being able to just
ride
my bike around and scream happy Pride at
not, a beautiful thing.
Not just thousands of people, but like 100 people at a time, but then just do that like 100 times.
Yes.
It was so, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, was super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. And they had, the parade for the broadcasting thing went really well too. We got it all set up. We were able to connect. At first, we had some problems connecting, and I think it was there was no cell phone signal, you know. But we
problems were connecting. That's why we do Pride.
but then we had Dana, who's running the board in here, call us down there, and we were connected, and it worked out great.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, yeah.
I'm glad. I someday I'll listen to your broadcast for Pride.
I don't. So yeah, I mean, it's nice that it's there, but. You know, I think it's really good if people are on kind of like traveling around listening to it.
No.
But anyway, so why don't we tell people about Garland Pride? Then I got to do my 20-minute after the hour business. So
So I'd encourage people to go to Garland District midday, you know, have some lunch.
And that's then, on Saturday.
Yeah, midday, Saturday the 22nd. And then go to the free showing of Alice in Wonderland, maybe shop at some of the retail stores that are, you know, brick and mortar over there. And then once you're in the theater, when you enter the theater, there will be no festival all around you and the road will still be open to traffic. But when you come out, you'll suddenly be down the rabbit hole in a beautiful wonderland of rainbows.
Oh, that sounds like pretty cool.
And I'll be going from my dirty, you know, setup clothes to a, you know, beautiful blue dress and blonde wig. And we'll have lots of us have really stupid costumes. It's going to be fun. We'll see if it's dumber than we did. Our entire board did a whole we were the whole cast of Wizard of Oz, but it's going to be fun. We're going to have a stage by the Garland Theater. We're going to have a stage by the Brew Works, a stage by Little Noodle doing karaoke and, open
is there
drag.
A list someplace of the,
yeah, it's all on our website, spokanepride.org.
Okay.
I think it's /GarlandPride.
Okay.
All that's up there. It's going to be a beautiful day. And don't worry about the heat so much. I would just bring some sunscreen and know that there are going to be five cooling stations now.
Wow.
It's not even that big a festival. So you'll be able to find, probably just like scream, bottle of water here. Somebody will probably be able to do it for you. And also, we know that parking is a logistical hurdle in the Garland District. I hear about it all the time in the business district meetings that I go to there. And we're actually having, the business district is helping us out with a shuttle between Northtown Mall and the Garland District. So you're going to be able to park at Northtown Mall and catch a ride over to kind of by the theater. And so you won't even have to like walk like 10 blocks in because, you know, there's not any big parking lots in there anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
People are usually fighting for parking in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So there is a, you know, kind of elegant solution to that issue.
And there's so many good shops. I mean, there's just to name a few, Time Bomb and Garland Brew Works.
Garland on a regular day is a cool place to visit.
Oh, and
put like 80 vendors at it and like four stages. It's going to be a great,
Giant Nerd Books.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, you know, yes. I mean, it'll be great for all those things going on. But even if those things weren't going on, there's going to be plenty to do. All right. I'm going to play a little bit of music while I load up my computer. We're going to play a band that played last year. I don't know if they're playing this year or not. The Green Warriors. And
is this your nephew's band?
Yes. Well, and it's my house band. It's my house band. They play during my break while I load up the computer. So we're going to play a little house band music. This is Satellite Tonight, which I think they did. I don't know. They did this last week, I think. All right, here we go. We'll be right back.
out and receive support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for August 17th through the 20th. Monday, Lucas Brookbank Brown at Zola and the Mac Movement open mic with Mag DeFazia at the Red Room. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Moss and Stone at the Rocket Market, Jameson Sampson and the All-Star Jam at Zola, open mic with Nate Dunnigan at the Parlor, La Luz and Space Moth at the District, and Skunk at the Big Dipper. Wednesday, Tanya Lowe, Hannah Siglin, and others at the Kendall Yards Night Market, Susie Plays Guitar, and Aki Fumikado at Zola, Steve Von Till at the Big Dipper, and the Downtown Get Down Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Just Plain Darren at QQ Sushi, Nate Ostrander at True Legends, Justin Priest at the Steam Plant, Blues Jam at Chan's Red Dragon, open mic with Derek Hart at the Alibi, Reese Gerwin at Zola, the Soulful Brothers at South Hill Village, Cancer Slug at the Big Dipper, and Horse Feathers at the District. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane. Catch Tabitha Smith this Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Okay, we are back. And of course, we've got our breath back after climbing up all those stairs because the escalators were broken. No, the whatever. We had to climb stairs because the water doesn't work here. Let's leave it at that. Go ahead, Matt. You're going to say something.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was actually like just putting my feet up and trying to slouch as much as possible.
Oh, okay. I had to turn down my hearing aids were squeaking in my ears. Getting some feedback.
Maeve is a, you know, you got to watch her. She's going to do a gotcha question.
I'm riffing. I'm riffing right now, Matt. Oh, that's what the kids call riffing.
Your hair looks amazing.
Thank you. You know, it really does today. And I washed it day before yesterday, so you know it's pretty good. Look, doing pretty good
for all of those that can't see it. Her hair is wild.
It is, and the thing is, it really does a good job about like I can kind of do like a mosquito count for the health district, you know, to kind of see what's out there or bats. If there's rabid bats, they can send. I'm in their rabid. I'm rabid bat strike force. I go right into the building. Bat gets tangled up in my hair, bites me a couple times. That's okay. I've had my rabies shots, and they take it away.
So talented.
Yeah. I'd like to get back to the community, Matt. You know?
I know.
That's why I'm here.
I
okay.
know.
So we're talking about Garland Pride. Now, I wanted to ask you about these. I sort of sound like, what's his name, the character that, what am I thinking of? Martin Short does the, I'd like to ask you.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it, but I know
just
what you're
Jackie,
talking about.
Jackie, well, I'm under the gun, so I can't say it. I can't think of it. I want to ask you we've got the big Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Pride and Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Got Garland Pride. And there's going to be Hilliard Pride, right?
Yep.
So that's pretty cool, reaching out to these neighborhoods all throughout, starting in June and then this through the summer and the fall.
I mean, the goal is to just, you know, work with the neighborhood councils and the business districts and, you know, create these, you know, obviously it's pride. So it's about celebrating diversity and, you know, inclusion, but I also see it as like working with the locals there that really care deeply about, you know, their corner of the community and using pride and those relationships to just create a really cool community event where we just, you know, love on each other and celebrate what it is to be that community. And
yeah.
I just think it's going to be really, I don't know, it's testing the concept. We've only done it a few times, but I'm really optimistic with Hilliard Pride. It seems like the community there is really, really into it. I'm just so surprised, especially with, you know, some of the reputation, you know, mostly caused by a few people who are very not fans of our community, especially your, because that coffee stand that we will not name.
Oh yeah, I forgot about. I wonder what they have up there now. Which wonder thing is? I don't know.
Actually, they took it down. There was a sign. They've stopped trying to cause drama there.
Hmm.
Which I almost want to. Part of me wants to remind people, hey, still don't go there.
Well, that's the gift of having Trump, who's just such over the top and such a lunatic, such an over the top fascist, that it really gives people permission to fly their mean flag. And so I think like she had that permission. And so we should all be, you know, that's the thing we can be thankful for, is that these people feel comfortable showing us who they really are.
It shows us where to spend our money. I mean, go to Derailleur Coffee there. They're
right.
They're like the opposite. So, well,
it's funny. There's a local business by me, which I won't name, but during Black Lives Matter, everybody had their Black Lives Matter signs up, and they were actually boarding up their windows because they thought that there was going to be like a riot or something. It was, you know,
I know where you live. There was no riot there.
No, there wasn't. There was no riot.
We were neighbors at the time, actually.
But I think they were worried about it. And then also their sign said something like, we support all people. They couldn't say they couldn't say Black Lives Matter. And so I kind of wonder, like, so when you go into these communities, I mean, I think if you were just like a crass business person, like, you know, like most corporations have gotten on board with pride stuff because basically it shows them as being kind people and logical people and decent people. But when you go into these communities, like, you know, when you started Garland Pride, and there's on one side people know, well, I'm going to make a bunch of money, and you know, LGBT people are pretty kind and nice people for the most part. Do you get any blowback from people saying we don't want that in our neighborhood?
Nobody comes out and says, you know, we don't want the gays here, but I do get some pushback that kind of feels sometimes like it's related to that, but they veil it in other ways. That's my impression. I can't really know what's in somebody's hearts, but it does seem pretty irrational in some of these situations where it's like, I'm not going to tell you which event it was, but like we brought more people into this neighborhood, this business district than they had in over a decade since, you know, one of their other festivals had shut down. And it feels like all I get from people is, you know, grief at their business district meetings. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? I've been going to every business district meeting. I've been trying to like incorporate all of these businesses into it. I have a plan to get around the parking concerns. It's like, I don't know what more I can do as a third party event organizer that just wants to create something beautiful for our city and for that neighborhood. And it's a neighborhood I also live in. And it's like, it's frustrating sometimes, but like at the end of the day, you kind of got to just keep pushing, keep organizing, and you know, it is what it is.
Well, you create a lot of opportunity for these businesses. And a lot of advance warning, you know, to say, well, this is going to be happening on this day. If you want to hang up a pride flag to let people know that you're okay and welcome people into your business,
I'll give you a pride flag.
Yeah. Like, I mean, to me, that's just being smart about business. Plus I have to be honest, when I see a pride flag outside of a business, I know that they're good people. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying that everybody who doesn't have a pride flag is a bad person, but I'm just saying they have gone out of their way to say that we welcome everybody. And I just think that's a pretty, I feel safe there. I want to give them money, you know, things like that. And so when you bring people into these neighborhoods, that's gotta be it. So, not to take anything away from the Garland Pride, because that's the next thing. We talked a little bit about that, and we'll circle back to that.
Garland Pride, which is on Saturday from 4 to 9 p.m. in the Garland District.
Thank you. More
info at SpokanePride.org.
And for those of you who may be new to town, the Garland District is on Garland Avenue. Just a little helpful.
That was very clarifying. Thank you. But
I kind of wonder too, you know, I always think like Garland would be great to have like a Christmas thing, you know, Christmas Garland.
Oh, I get it.
I always think I would be. I'm not being funny. I mean, it is funny.
You're being a little funny.
But I think, like, wouldn't that be fun? Like garland, like they do a gar. We could have like rainbow garland.
I don't know. I need to go easy on my events during the winter.
We'll get a little closer. You'll be missing doing this because is Hilliard Pride going to be the last one?
It's going to be our last big street fair, like of the vendor year fair. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because and that's September 19th. We'll be taking over the rail park there right at the center, you know, on Market. Plus, one of the building owners there has offered us some of his property right along the trail there, the bike trail.
Nice.
And then, I met this great guy. Oh, man. And then we're going to shut down a few of the roads, the side roads, and put vendors on those as well. It's going to be a lot more scaled back than Garland Pride. Just because we don't have as much money to throw at it. It's first year. We need to make sure it's actually something, you know, that community wants before we, you know, invest a bunch of time and money into it. But the vibe so far is just wonderful.
Yeah, so cool. And I suppose Garland Pride, the first year you did it, was probably dipping your toe in to test the waters then.
Yeah, we didn't even close Garland that year. Yeah. We just closed one of the side streets. And but people showed up and people keep showing up for these things. And we'll, just like the fundraisers, just like any Spokane Pride event, we'll do it as long as people keep showing up.
Yeah, that's so cool. What's going to be different other than the theme about Garland Pride than, say, for this year from last year?
We eliminated one stage. We kind of over-programmed last year, so we're trying to do a little quality over quantity this year. Mm-hmm. Even though it is kind of fun to, you know, put a stage everywhere there's vendors, but it's also just a big hassle logistically, and then, like, you know, finding good entertainment for it all, figuring out all those details is just, I don't think about it because it's 4 days till the event, and that is what I've been, you know, swimming in all day.
Yeah.
But, and then obviously the Alice in Wonderland theme, and I think we'll have, and just generally my teams are a lot more developed, the committees and everything. I think things will be tighter, things will be a little better organized, and I think that's going to be great.
Yeah. Did you go down to the punk rock flea market? Was that last week?
No, I was supposed to have a booth there actually, but me and Phil from Pride 365 decided we couldn't really swing it, especially, I mean, we had the fundraiser on Saturday, and I know it was multiple days, but I really, really wanted to prioritize, you know, obviously not messing up anything for Garland Pride, but also doing these fundraisers and raising money for those, you know, affected by the fires.
Yeah. I thought it was, I hope they do more of that. I love taking these empty spaces in Spokane and, you know, creating something maybe, you know, temporary in them is pretty cool.
Anything we can do to activate downtown, especially, I think that's why I was so excited about the block party, because we were the first one to shut down a street like that.
Yeah.
And we were getting pushback from some of the bureaucrats being like, you can't do that. You can't just shut down a street. What kind of precedent does that set? I'm like, it sets the precedent that we should have a thriving downtown that's able to shut down streets and do vendor fairs, because that's like literally what every other city does.
Yeah. And especially in the middle, like late in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you what, when we have a fire downtown, we shut down the street. The street gets shut down. That street and a bunch of other streets.
The fire department can just do that?
We just shut her down.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we call for the streets department to come and put barricades up.
I wish I could do that. They make me rent my own. I have to go out to the valley with a truck.
Yeah.
Find people to throw them all off trucks and place them. Fortunately, I don't have to do that work anymore usually.
Yeah. But. No, I mean, but people survive is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. People survive and work their way around shutdown streets.
Well, and if you're doing it right, a traffic plan is no joke these days. You can't just put out barricades. You got to put out detour signs. I mean, we're putting traffic control signage for like a mile radius around Garland on Saturday morning to, you know, because I think insurance has caught up to the city and they need to like do everything perfectly right. I have to pay a third party. Anyway, I'm getting to it. There's a lot of details for shutting down a street.
These things just don't happen.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Any kind of interesting new vendors that have come across the radar?
I mean,
they're all pretty interesting.
There's yeah, I was going to say, I actually am not as... I mean, I know some of them right now, but I actually, Spokane Pride had enough money to hire me an assistant. So I have a lovely assistant named Maria that kind of handles all the vendor stuff these days.
So you're just a figurehead.
No. There's still, sorry to get exasperated. There's just...
I know, because while during the break you were on your phone.
There's so much to do.
Fixing, yeah, I know. It's just, I know you're... And, you know, in the past, you could have taken a break after Pride.
No, I don't.
But now you're not taking breaks anymore because also you take Pride to small communities.
I don't get breaks.
No, I mean.
I don't think I've had a day off.
How about these small communities that you've been bringing Pride to? How's that been going?
Those are the closest I get to days off because they are so fun.
Yeah.
And, no, I mean, that's one of
the
coolest.
Did you go up to Bonner's Ferry? Was there one up there or something? Was it?
They don't do Pride per se in Bonner's Ferry still. They had some pushback from that community. Hmm. I did do a really epic photo shoot with my car in front of the Welcome to Trump Country sign just outside of there.
I've photoshopped different things on that sign before.
A lot of people photoshop. I see.
Yeah,
the trolls on my Facebook, they take pictures, I post of it, and they photoshop it for me. Like they make the rainbow on my car an American flag, and I and I comment being like, yeah, freedom to be yourself. They kind of mean the same thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, don't get me started.
How has the rainbow car been working out?
It hasn't gotten vandalized yet.
Huh. And you went up to Canada with it?
I drove all the way to Jasper, Alberta. I drove thousands of miles through the middle of nowhere in that crazy rainbow car. And I haven't... Nobody's given me the finger. Nobody's screamed at me in anger. Nobody's like rev their engine in a negative way. It's just all been pointing, waving, smiling, saying hi, people taking pictures of it, being really excited.
That's cool.
Like I just can't express to people how much the real world is not the internet. Like,
well, and also I think, I've said this before that, if you're LGBT right now, you give a lot of people hope that aren't LGBT that are in this fight just as much as you are, that are going through, maybe they have a loved one on the Abraham Lincoln that has been out there for, almost a year and is, in decrepit conditions, and you have a president who doesn't care. And so, he's the enemy of the armed forces. He's the enemy of all sorts of decent people. Right. And we've been the enemy, especially trans people, we've been the enemy of this administration from the beginning. So when you see, I think that's the thing, people see a rainbow car, they know you're friendly. They know that you are not, and I can't use the word on the radio, but
yes.
I think people know what I'm saying, that that you are definitely not standing with this cult. Well, you're not a part of this demonic cult.
That was the cool thing about, we did our first Pride in Canada. That's why I was actually there initially. We did event assisting for Creston, BC. We ran sound for their main Pride event, and then I ended up running sound for their after party as well. They had a drag show, and it was just the most beautiful little event. Everybody there was so great. The town was so cute. And it was really cool for a little organization like Spokane Pride to get into international relations and just being like, we are not all like that. Almost very few people that are actually like that. We're being ruled by a ridiculous minority right now that for some reason, because of the way our country is structured, like it empowers this just wildly crazy minority.
Yeah.
And it's not all of us. It's not even most of
it. No, it's not.
It's like 20%.
Yeah, 20% of the loons are calling the shots. How did you get to see Selkirk the Cat?
Oh, yeah, I did.
And you got to see my friends with Selkirk.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
We haven't talked since.
Me and Maeve have now, you should interview me more, Maeve.
I know. There's always so much stuff going on.
I know. Yeah, I went to Revelstoke, you know, because when in Canada, you got to go. Any respectable pride organizer passing through, you know, the Canadian Rockies needs to pay tribute to Selkirk.
Absolutely.
And they started a business doing, taking people around in the big van, taking show. Oh, it's so fun. And
oh, they did?
Actually, I hung out with Brian and Joanna a lot.
Yeah.
More than I ever had because, you know, I just knew them as the parents of Selkirk.
Yeah.
And no, they showed me a good time in Revelstoke.
Joanna didn't tell you any false stories about me, did she?
Only good things. So I assumed they were all true.
Oh yeah. Those were good. Those were true. Yeah.
Okay. No, it seemed like you guys had a great relationship, almost like family in that firehouse.
Yeah, it was very much a family relationship, I would say. Everybody there.
Yeah, and took some really good pictures of Selkirk with my car because, you know, it's gotta get the King of Pride with the Pride Mobile.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. How was, now Pride in Canada, was it, did you notice anything kind of different, or would you have just pictured this being a small town in anywhere USA?
I think the vibe is a little bit different in Canada.
How so?
I just think, not to get too, the social cohesion there is a lot better. I mean, people trust each other more.
Yeah.
They have, as one of the organizers of Creston Pride put it, because, you know, we were talking about the fact that they're only about 30, 40 minutes from Bonner's Ferry, but the degree that they worry about, you know, let's be real, getting shot by some right-wing a-hole is a lot less, because they do have people, you know, that are dispositionally right-wing, but they don't have all the guns. They don't have all they don't have, you know, an entire paradigm of right-wing politics, like trying to animate people with fear just to loathe and hate these people.
Yeah.
And it's just very different. And, you know, I mean, for example, I mean, they don't, I saw so many bikes that were not locked, and I know they were small towns, but still, people in the U.S., we lock up our stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And it just seemed like people trusted each other more and, you know, helped each other. And I'm hoping, it really gave me like a, cause I've always been thinking like there's some sort of like meta goal with Pride in just like making the community as a whole feel more connected and comfortable and safe with each other. And I was like, This is what we're going for. This is like the long range, you know, plan for Pride, as we just need to figure out how to, you know, celebrate our differences and, you know, just be good people to each other and maybe actually like practice what Jesus would have preached.
Because
a lot of the Christian churches don't.
No, in fact, they're kind of, I would say it's a very American thing that they kind of have, and people who call themselves Christians, a lot of them have an anti-Christ sort of, that's what they do. They go directly against what Jesus said, which is weird because I don't think, I guess they probably just don't read those parts of the Bible.
A lot of them frame it as like, because I let's be real, I get into a lot of discussions about this with, you know, a-holes and, and they really see a lot of their being not good to our community, especially a way is like, they see it as like tough love. Like you gotta like scare the sin, you know, change the people, and then they can be receiving of love. And I'm like, so that's the definition of conditional love. Like Jesus was washing the feet of prostitutes and, you know, like the disciples were not like, they weren't church people. They weren't upstanding community members. That was just kind of whoever. Like these were the least of us, you know, in this movement.
And here's the thing too, is there were plenty of gay people during that time.
Oh.
And that was a pretty normal thing around the people. And Jesus never said anything about people being gay.
Yeah,
you know, never said anything. And as far as trans people, Jesus actually in Matthew 19:12, actually, where the disciple has a problem with them, Jesus steps in and says, no, these people are great. And if they're doing it for, you know, whatever reason they're doing it for. A lot of people are doing it because of love of God, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah. So they don't read that. They're just told what to think, which makes them really good cult members for President Trump as well. But
you got to judge people by how they are, not who they are. Mm-hmm. Like judge people for how nice they are to people. Mm-hmm.
Their character
not
is.
Like, I mean, let's be real. There's a lot of profoundly unkind people in our community. Mm-hmm. Not going to name any names, but like,
yeah,
just because you're, you know, and people come in all shapes and sizes, all identities, and we need to judge each other as individuals.
Yep. We have plenty of an opportunity to do that. Okay. So why don't we tell people one more time on how they can go to Garland Pride, and how much does it cost for Garland Pride?
Cost doesn't cost anything. Not even going to the theater at 2:00 for the free showing of Alice in Wonderland.
You can go to the theater for free.
Yeah.
That's it. Wow.
And obviously the vendor fare is free. And then the only thing that costs anything is there's an after party going on at the theater, which is, I think it's 21 plus. So there's going to be like a burlesque thing.
Oh, and, okay.
That, I think the suggested donation cost or whatever is like $5-$10.
Is that what Felix is?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. And then, is this the end or can I plug one more thing?
No, plug. We got like 3 minutes.
Okay. Cause something I haven't hit here, and actually you should go to this because I think it'd be fun. You want to go spend the weekend together in September?
Keep talking.
So we're doing Pride Camp. It's a partnership with North Idaho Pride Alliance. So Coeur d'Alene Pride, basically Spokane Pride, Sands helping out a little bit, and the Lincoln LGBTQ Center in Gonzaga. And obviously the UCC Church, because they own the church camp. And but it's not a church camp that weekend. It's Pride Camp. It's out on Lake Coeur d'Alene. And there's registration up on our website, SpokanePride.org. I think it costs about $230, $250, depending on which the lodges or cabins you select to be in. There's still a lot more space. So I would really encourage, and it's September 25th through the 28th.
Okay.
And I like to joke that we're going to go get over the scars we got at church camp together at a church camp.
Can we shoot bows and arrows and stuff?
I don't know if they have bows and arrows, but there's lots of kayaks, canoes. We're going to be doing karaoke, hiking, lots of fun stuff to do.
Oh, how fun.
No, it's, and I did a site visit. It's a really beautiful
camp. I think I've been to that camp before.
You probably have.
I think we had, when I was in campus ministry, I think we had a big regional campus ministry meeting there.
Yeah. No, it's going to be really cool. It's a bit of an experiment, but we just want to see what happens if we can put like people at this camp and like be really intentional about creating this space and, you know, see if we can make it bigger next year, maybe even make a couple more, because I think being in community together all weekend and almost like I think that's something we don't really have.
Yeah.
And I think this could be really cool.
Yeah. I just, this last weekend I had a writer's workshop for the last 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 8 of us, and then of course instructors and chefs, and it was just a lovely time getting to know people. Yeah, there's something about hanging out with people, you know, after work hours and getting to hear their stories and getting to know folks that you don't really know. It's a pretty powerful experience.
Well, and I think since it's regional, it'll be like, it'll be basically getting the leaders together of the regional queer community and, like, you know, strengthening those connections, because that's something we really need to do. We need to move better as a unit. We need to coordinate. We need to collaborate and, you know, share resources and also have organized pushback if things get really, really bad. Like, you know, obviously helping out people in Idaho that need help, because there's a lot more, you know, a lot more craziness happening out there, especially to the trans community.
Yep. All right. Well, that concludes the show. I've been talking to Matt Danielson, Executive Director of Spokane Pride, and we're talking about a lot of things, but we talked about Garland Pride, which is this Saturday on Garland in the business district, you know where that is, starts out with, what time is Wizard of Oz?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. So if you go see the Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland. If you go see Alice in Wonderland, and that's free, I believe.
It's free.
And
free,
of course,
free,
it's free. All nonprofits involved here, that you can go to that and then walk out of there and the street will be shut down. It'll be transformed. Be lots of fun stuff, and it's family friendly. So if you're not, well, even if you are doing something this weekend, check it out. All right, you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM, streaming from kyrs.org. I'm your host, Maeve, and I will talk with you next week. Thanks for listening in.
Happy Pride.
If you find that you have dug yourself into a hole, the very first thing to do is to quit digging. That old country saying has a newly urgent relevance to us today. For big tech, big finance, and big government are colluding to dig us into an unfathomable hole of artificial intelligence. All across the country, entire communities are in an uproar as they learn that thousands of massive billionaire-financed data centers are quietly being approved by their government officials, usurping farmland, local water supplies, and each area's electric grid. Why? So uber-rich prigs like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos can impose their grandiose zillion-dollar schemes to displace us human workers with super-intelligent bots. What's not to like about that? But wait, there are other major problems, including the sickening drone of gigantic cooling systems in each data center, running nonstop year-round, destroying tranquility and people's sanity. The sudden rise of global warming emissions caused by data center use of fossil fuels. The creation of easy targets for drone attacks on these sprawling interconnected computer networks, and the wholesale diversion of America's research funding and talent to the private projects of billionaires. Far worse, though, is that AI is the key for Musk, Bezos, and whoever to impose a feudal, fascist, technocratic rule over the rest of us, all in the name of progress. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe we should question this future before surrendering to it. To help guide us, New York Times columnist Tressie McMillan Cottom recommends such useful books as The Nerd Reich, Techno-Feudalism, and End Times Fascism, plus Pope Leo's encyclical letter on AI. Follow Tressie's series on battling big tech at jimhightower.com/TMC. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
You're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
This is Democracy Now!
This term is almost unrecognizable to term one, and we are looking at not just a remaking of a Trump presidency, but a remaking of what the U.S. presidency looks like, both domestically and abroad.
Regime change inside the imperial presidency of Donald Trump. We'll be joined by the Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman. She's been covering Donald Trump since the 1990s, often referred to as the Trump Whisperer. We'll talk with her about the White House war room freakout over the Epstein files, Trump's decision to wage war